On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go.
Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you're a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, Android, or Sun Solaris user, we have the stuff you need to tune tech into your way of life and let that technology work for you. My name's Nightwise. For the coming 60 minutes, I'm going to be your host on this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, Season 6, Episode 1, Story time. For more information and the show notes, head on over to the website www.nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to that feed and get all of the Nightwise.com podcasts delivered to your podcatcher automatically, letting technology work for you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can feedback at nightwise.com for those who still use email. Nightwise.com/Twitter if you want to follow us on Twitter. Nightwise.com/Facebook if you want to follow us on Facebook. Or Nightwise.com/Google+, all one word, if you want to find us on Google+. Hey, guys and girls, it's been a couple of weeks since you heard of me, and I want to start off by saying how good it is to be back. I've been off the air for about 4 weeks, and I haven't been overwhelmed by life. I've been beaten into a pulp by life. Life got in the way. We had some home renovations going on at home, which really wreaked havoc with kind of everything. And I've been out sick for about 2 weeks, but now I am back. Before I start, I want to say thank you to everybody who sent me get well soon messages. I was in hospital for a day or two. Nothing serious, but it was very nice to hear from the community. And I just want to say, sorry, I've been off the air a little bit, but hey, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't panic. I'm back. Nightwise.com is ready to go into Season 6 with a lot of content waiting, because I haven't been sitting on my hands when I've not been behind the microphone. I have been gathering material. One of the things that I have had time to do is to write, and some of those writings are here for you today. We are going to do another Storytime episode. Now, if you are new to the Nightwise.com podcast, you might wonder, what is story time? Well, every once in a while, I have the time to crawl behind my computer and behind the keyboard, and I write up a little article for a story. And because it's very popular, I read out those stories, put some music to it, and give you a nice episode where you can sit back, relax, and let me do the talking. No fancy think work, no, nothing very techie geeky, but just, you know, plain old entertainment. I hope you enjoy it. Today we are going to go into a Storytime episode that deals with one specific phenomenon in the technological world: the norms, the average computer user that is not a geek, that is not a nerd, but that is a layman. So stand by for two interesting stories about norms, the latest thing, and welcome to wherever you are. As we say on the Nightwise.com podcast, sit back, put on your headphones, your earbuds, or crank up the volume, close your eyes, and let's get into the meat of the matter.
Thank you.
I peer over my big, steaming mug of coffee into a busy, busy bookstore. It somehow feels like the perfect place to write this article, sitting in a bookstore. A bookstore seems, to a digital native like me, a relic in its own right. But this very bookstore is actually an old, repurposed and re-renovated church. The very place I'm occupying must have been reserved for the pastor, as he preached to his flock about things that concern the earthly and the beyond. The faithful flock has diminished, and even the entire church has been turned into something that might be equally ancient, a bookstore. But the entire point of this is that out of style does not always mean out of use. That's your phone? The statement came from a strapping young man in his early 30s after he posed the question what mobile device I was using. Socially adept as he was, he managed to hide his surprise quite well, but in the spontaneous exclamation of his surprise, I could completely track down at least 5% of pity and at least 78% of utter bafflement. The young man in question is a gnome, a member of the fat belly of the technological consumer base that arrives on the scene years after the early adopters have left. The ones to whom Facebook has recently become a substantial part of their entertainment and social structures. Those that have not only recently dumped their aging Windows machines and bought an Apple product because it was cool. This gentleman was sporting an Apple iPhone 5 and had shushed his beloved counterpart with a brand new Samsung Galaxy S3. I had briefly wondered if they ever took the patent wars to bed with them, but gnomes are gracefully ignorant of such things. They are the new end user. So when he asked me what was the mobile centerpiece of my Vita Digitalis, he was not expecting me to pull out a 2-year-old Galaxy Nexus phone. The next question he posed did give me a little bit of a challenge. Why? He said. What did he mean by that? Why? Why have I chosen this particular model? What mystical pony farts does it produce to turn it into the ultimate communicator? He followed up to clarify his inquiry. Why not an iPhone 5? Ah, there it was. This was a comparative inquiry, a call for motivation or justification why I was not running around with the latest bling from Cupertino. I decided to bounce back to question. Why should I? I replied. His forehead seemed to crease in a way that made him look a lot like the Klingons before he stammered, because you're in IT. Ah, there you have it. In the realm of the gnomes, having the reputation of being an IT specialist implies that you, of all people, should have the latest stuff. If not, there must be something wrong with your brain or your bank account. I smiled at him and heard myself mouth the exact words that I have heard from old people and newbies. Because I don't need it. This phone does everything I want it to do.
But it's old, he stammered. How can you not have the latest thing?
My reply was of such a sort that even his beloved better half decided to look up from playing Fruit Ninja on her smartphone. This was a good thing, because the concentrated frown she did, it did make it look like she was doing a number two there for a moment. I said, because you have been suckered in. The conversation quickly went downhill soon after that, and I decided to quietly switch topics to brands of expensive ladies' underwear, because, quite frankly, I was unable to explain my previous statement in gnome terminology. The core of the explanation is, because there's nothing really new. When I take a look at my better half's aging but trusty iPhone 4 and glare down at my 2-year-old Galaxy Nexus, there is nothing they cannot handle that the latest phones cannot do. As I wander around the stacked shelves of the tech section in our local supermarket, I see nothing new, nothing that really excites me.
Sure, phones have become faster and bigger, and some of them pack features that might not have been available before, like NFC or 4G. But when asking the average shopper why he or she buys this product, he or she will tell you,
because it's the latest thing.
The point I'm trying to make is that the age of revolutionary innovation surely has not had its peak in the mobile phone market over the last year. Thanks to patent wars and a struggling economy, the eureka moment in the technospheres have been few and far between. The Galaxy S3 that is currently topping sales figures has, aside from a faster processor and NFC, nothing specifically more to offer than the Galaxy Nexus that was shipped 2 years ago. The only crucial difference between the iPhone 5 and the previous model has been a spectacular addition of one row of icons and a faster processor that will only work when you decide to do some high-end gaming on a screen that's the size of a business card. Where features like these used to be enough to lure the early adopters to the stores and gave geeks chunk over the hard-earned cash, I see a completely different audience coming to the early bird scene these days. Standard norms, with no technological profession or interest, and who think that the Big Bang Theory is about two gay guys with computers, now pre-order the latest Apple smartphone because it's the latest Apple smartphone. They buy a Galaxy S3 because everybody has it, or because it's not an Apple. And I am baffled at the expenses they make just to keep up with the latest things. We have come to the age where the old early adopters are starting to linger behind because we are waiting for that brand new thing to finally hit the market. And until it does, we wait. Meanwhile, the norms are queuing up for that one special device whose learning curve is probably longer than the actual period they will own it. So I stand by my aging Galaxy Nexus in sheer defiance of the progressive onslaught of technology that happens all around me. I defy the marketing engines of the technological industry that grind up the naivete of the ignorant consumer into cold, hard profit. I heft my little black companion like a lightsaber in the face of sleeping progress, daring it to wake up and surprise me with something truly innovative. I plant down my staff of technological knowledge on the bridge that leads to my bank account and yell, "You shall not pass!" I need to find a new place to have coffee, for I have just done the latter out loud, and now everybody is thinking that I am nuts. So, as the credit card reports of my norm friends rocked upwards like a chronometer as they try to keep up with what's hot, they fire away yet another picture from their DSLR camera that has never left full auto mode towards their painfully generic Facebook account. The overlords of digital mediocrity chuckle and say, "Sucker." Next to me, an old man hefts a bulky but awkwardly retro Nokia 3310 from his jacket pocket. He gets his glasses and slowly starts to compose a text message. I resist the urge to walk up to him and ask him why he still has this phone, because his answer would be vaguely familiar. It does all it needs to do. We'll be right back.
possible answers. Electronics and radar from the MR.
Atomic activity on the moon.
Atomic glass on the earth.
Atomic activity on the moon.
Atomic glass on the earth.
Atomic activity on the moon.
Atomic glass on the earth.
Atomic activity on the moon.
Atomic glass on the earth.
Welcome to wherever you are. Slouched in my cozy living room chair, I absently watch the multicolored pictures on the big screen as they slide by and valiantly try to entertain me with their drab stories. Linear television has lost its hold on me. The feeble attempts of the TV industry to capture the attention of the audience by creating content aimed at the lowest common cultural denominator is feeble at best. As an evolved cyber citizen, my second screen is seldom far away, so I turn to my trusty iPad and thumb the Facebook icon. Ah, sweet Facebook. Prodigy of the Earth's hope for a global social media platform that would bring people closer together. Its white and blue interface, the digital banner of many a country's revolution. Its game center, the vortex of digital farming. What, oh, what has happened to you, sweet Facebook? It looked okay in the beginning, when the rise of this social media platform was a time to harvest, to go out into the digital world and gather as many friends as you could, some that were close to you and some random strangers that you bonded with through the magic of the internet. Some of them were real friends and family, and some of them were just old mates from school that you added to see how fat their girlfriends got over time. It used to be a curated stream of information, a never-ending entertainment channel into the lives of the people to whom you had a connection. A way to stay in touch and to be close to people that were otherwise a mile or a thousand miles away. It used to be that way for a long time. I remember my wife's grandmother vigorously reciting the adventures of her grandchildren at the local bingo night, how she followed them via the Facebook, and how their interactions via the digital platform made it seem like they were much more part of each other's lives than ever before. I, too, found a way to connect back to my hometown roots. I once again was in the loop of what my old homies in the hometown were doing. They were pleasantly surprised to see that I was still alive, but baffled by the fact that I had a website, an online persona, and why, oh, why did I do everything in English? But hey, it was fun. The content of my Facebook stream and of that of my beloved became the topic of conversation around the dinner table. When we met up with friends, we no longer had to ask the lame, "So, have you been?" questions, but could immediately pick up on the latest event that friend X, Y, or Z had posted, and vice versa. It was cool, for as long as it lasted. Now I jab the little blue icon, and it leaves me wondering why I just did that. What used to be a landscape of interesting posts, cryptic passive-aggressive messages about moods, and pictures of wild parties is now a never-ending river of drab. We have swum across the lake of Farmville invitations and come upon the shores where even the most layman Facebook user has given up shooting frozen bubbles and has ceased to herd virtual cows. So what are we left with? What remains is the result of putting a powerful social media tool into the hands of people who have no original content to share. Just like the telegraph devolves from a beautiful means of instant communications into an 80s party line, Facebook is losing its glory, and it's losing it fast. One way to describe some of my timeline would be to call it virtual scrolling brain poo. The other way would be to call it social Hotmail. Yeah, Hotmail. Remember Hotmail? As a geek, you probably need no reminder of what happened to Hotmail over the years. From a shining free webmail service, it fell into the hungry claws of spammers. And even worse, it fell into the hands of norms. Norms! These hordes of technologically brainless zombies that, thanks to falling prices of computers and broadband connections, have gained access to the World Wide Web, where they have absolutely nothing to contribute. No content creation, no witty remarks, no artistic pictures, no. Norms will mainly regurgitate the content that has been long secreted by the geek elite or shoved down their throat by some fancy marketing manager who wants his message to go viral at any cost. Those norms have found the peaceful islands of Facebook, and just like Russian tourists at an all-you-can-eat buffet, they are not the kind of crowd you want messing with your social stream. My inner geek vomits as I read another of my friends, who I hold in high regard, reshare some idiotic post about a kid who needs a liver. And I try not to pry out my left eyeball as I see a repost of some dog gone missing somewhere. I resist the urge to smash my iPad on the coffee table as another norm posts he just signed up for the Black Facebook, but in fact has willfully infected his Vista machine with a piece of malware. But the countless quotes and keep calm and blah 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 posts are the things that threaten my very sanity. As I posted on Twitter last week, if Facebook would support the sharing of PowerPoints, it would turn into a mutated version of Hotmail all over again. Yes, we're back to Hotmail. Filled with spam, malware, and endless idiots forwarding emails about the fact that Messenger is going to become a paid service, inspirational PowerPoints filled with pictures of kittens and gut-wrenching cheesiness and tons of chain letters that you need to forward to all your contacts right now. Blech. Norms. I love most of you to death. For some of you are my friends, but not for long if you keep this up, and some of you are even my family. But your brainless use of my precious social media stream is about to send me into a mental institution. I revel at your gullibility as you seem to believe that a like on Facebook will feed an African child. My mind boggles as I see you resharing another stupid marketing scam about winning an iPhone. I silently sob as you repost a message about some so-called child molester without even checking the source. I weep for cyberspace in those moments. Although I have the utmost understanding for your temporal environment where memes travel slower in noob space as they do in geek space. The fact that somebody just posted the Gangnam Style video after seeing it for the very first time proves to me that we are not in the same temporal plane. But for the love of God, my sweet gnome friend, try to grow a brain. I wax nostalgically on those days where you were still little rookies on the social planes. Oh, sweet, sweet gnomes. You were so ignorant of the difference between a public post and a private message, which was very funny when you gave your boyfriend that booty call on his wall post. We had chuckles as you posted how you were going to the pub after you called in sick at work. We reveled at the elaborate bitch fights you used to have in the comments section of some post. We giggled at that cute picture of you covered in your own vomit after a night out because the color actually suited you. At least it was original content, and it far outclassed the drab reshares we see you do today. To add insult to injury, Facebook decided it was time to fill up my timeline with suggested posts about beer and mental coaching. There must be something wrong with my algorithm because I don't drink the former and have no use for the latter. But still, Zuck and his goons persist that I must purchase them. So my Facebook feed has devolved in this vertical smear of mental dribble that makes me look back up to the television in hope to find something less depressing. An episode of Strictly Come Dancing denies me that simple pleasure. So I have come into the second phase of my life on Facebook, a phase where I start to mute those close to me who have nothing much to say anyway, where I start to defriend those that are just too stupid to breathe unassisted. These were my friends on Facebook, and the act of defriending them has already brought me some social awkwardness in real space. The downside is that you cannot explain why you defriended them without insulting them. I love you like lolcats, my sweet, sweet friends, but your Farmville requests make me want to strangle you. We will always be family, but we cannot be friends on Facebook anymore. My eyes bleed when I read your reshared posts. Is that what you're going to say? I would like to move to the parallel universe where you can actually win that iPhone you keep posting about. I mean, how do you do this? How do you explain to these people that you no longer wish to be their virtual friend? Okay, I'm guilty as charged of the occasional repost too, but it is a curated selection of that what interests me or the Nightwise.com community. I've been on the internet long enough to know the difference between curated content and mindless resharing. I also have my digital street smarts that prevent me from posting a picture of a total stranger just because somebody said he's a child molester driving a white van. I know how to use Facebook according to my standards. But that's just it. My standards are just my own. And for many, Facebook is no longer a source of social interaction or information acquisition. It has become a source of entertainment, a platform of entertainment, a digital reality show in its fifth season where nothing is either real or original anymore, where product placement is abundant and the actors have become caricatures of themselves. If this was the tool that once directed the course of nations, I now feel a great loss. If my ranting sounds strange to you, give it time, because I welcome you to a point in time that you will someday reach. The point where Facebook will lose its gleam and the drab, brown dribble of the noobs will ooze from your screen. Where you sigh as you see another friend stumble into the marshes of stupidity. Where people you hold in high regard in real life turn to be digital disappointments. As I kill off another norm from my friends list, I feel a pang of guilt. But as I desperately try to raise the digital intellectual level of my friend stream, I know it is the only way. So as I jump over to the deep geekery on Google Plus and immerse myself in a discussion of the relevance of Richard Stallman in the free and open source community, I look around and see that even on Google Plus, stuff like Facebook is just a matter of time. Well, that's all we have time for this week on The Edge of Real and Cyberspace. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast. I really hope that you enjoyed this story time. It's a bit of a rant, but it's sometimes just, you know, nice to rant. I hope you enjoyed it. The latest thing was actually written around Christmas, so it might sound a little dated because the Galaxy S4 has hit the market since, but I hope that you still get the gist of all of that. And of course, the second story, Welcome to Wherever You Are, is kind of timeless. I wrote it a couple of weeks ago when I had, spent too much time on Facebook, I guess. So I hope you enjoyed them. And just remember, these stories, or a lot of stories like this, are going to be in the Nightwise.com book, which is a couple of months overdue, but is almost finished. We have gone through the spelling corrections, and it's almost ready to hit primetime. So those of you who have done a donation, stand by. You will receive your copy, and my apologies for having it drag out so long. I will do my very best to get it working. So, if you are still interested, go to the Nightwise.com website, KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find articles on all kinds of things about technology. Whether you're a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, or Android user, you can find some interesting tips and tricks on there. We have daily articles about mobile applications, about desktop applications, about websites and services, and of course a little bit of cult and geekery as well. So make sure you check it out, because the Storytime episodes are sometimes also posted as a read-along should you want to. So that's about all we have time for this week. I will see you next week on the Nightwise.com podcast on episode 2 of season 6, where we are going to try to do a video episode with a studio guest. More of that is going to come, so stay tuned. See you guys and girls on the flip side. Don't forget to check us out, www.nightwise.com for the website, nightwise.com/Twitter for Twitter, nightwise.com/Facebook if you still want to go there, and of course nightwise.com/Google+. It's all there. It's all tech working for you with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. See you guys on the flip side. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.